I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Lamentations, and the chapter 3, Lamentations chapter 3. We do welcome everyone to the house of God on this, the first Lord's Day of a new year, the year 2011. It has been my practice for many, many years to preach a motto text, and that is a text that I believe is important at the beginning of the year for us as a congregation. And the Lord has laid upon my heart a verse, a phrase of scripture that I want to lay before you at this time of public worship. Lamentations chapter 3, and we'll take the reading up at verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. We'll end the reading at verse 33, trusting that the blessing of God will be upon it, and that already God has spoken to your heart. The motto text for the year 2011 can be found in this reading in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 23. And it is this little phrase that says, "Great is thy faithfulness." We're standing on the threshold not only of a new year, with all the challenge and the prospect of serving God, but on the threshold, more importantly, of our 60th anniversary year. This is a great year for our congregation, for our denomination, in fact, and for those who have lived to see it. It is significant. These have been good years given by the Lord in the preaching of his word. In fact, 60 might remind us of fruitfulness. I was trying to see if there was some kind of significance with the number 60. It's not significant the way that other Bible numerics might be. But as I was thinking upon the subject, I thought of fruitfulness. It's one of the numbers used by the Lord in the parable of the sower. When the Lord spoke about the sower going out to sow the seed that fell into the good ground brought forth, we are told, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Isaac was 60 when he had his twin boys, Jacob and Esau. And so 60 might remind us of fruitfulness. And we thank God for the fruitfulness in the past, and we long in our hearts for a fruitful year in God's work. I'm sure there are scores of appropriate texts that would be most suitable at this time for us to ponder, to take as a mother text for the year. I was thinking over some scriptures as I thought of the commencement of this new year. One of them I was reading just yesterday in Daily Light. "There remaineth much land to be possessed." Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1. And as we think of what has been done for God over these years, yet we look to the future and we have to say there's much ground still to be taken. And there's much land still to be possessed for God. I trust that we'll feel the challenge of that. I thought of the Psalm 86 and verse 5. "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" There's one thing that's needed more than anything else in God's work today. It is a spiritual revival. That God himself, by the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit, would come down into this congregation and all of our congregations in the 60th year as we celebrate what God has done, and send a breath of revival. The Church of Jesus Christ stands desperately in need of the reviving work of God. I thought of the Psalm 118 and verse 23. "This is the Lord's doing, it is marvelous in our eyes," as we look at the years that God has given. And we'll come to see that in a few minutes' time. But yes, it has been of the Lord, and we want to rejoice in him. I thought also of Psalm 48 and verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We want to praise God for the 60 years that he's given. I thought of the little verse that we have in Luke chapter 18 verse 27. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And we look back over the years already given, and there have been some very impossible cases. And we look to the Lord that in the midst of those difficult situations, that God this year will be pleased to bring about the impossible, humanly speaking. For God is able to do all things. I thought also of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I pray that earnestly for my ministry. I pray it for this congregation that this year the Holy Spirit will descend and give us power in our Christian service. I thought of a verse that's very near to my heart. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God help us all to be abounding Christians this year. And there are some times that we struggle with the text and what we feel is the mind and the will of God to bring that message. But not so this time as far as our motto text is concerned. It was actually back in October. It was at the Youth Council Night of Prayer in Bush Mills. I don't know why I was thinking about the new year, nor why I was thinking about what I might preach as a motto text, but this verse came to my heart with great power. And it was as if, as I sat in the meeting that night, the Lord was saying, here's the message, here's the text, here's the motto for the year 2011. Preach this. Looking back over the 12 months of last year, I want to proclaim the goodness, the loving kindness and faithfulness of our God. I want to say, as far as the year that has just gone into eternity is concerned, great is thy faithfulness. Looking back over the 14 years of my ministry in Ballymoney, I want to say, great is thy faithfulness. God has been good to us. And looking back over the 60 years of gospel witness in this area, can't we say in truth, great is thy faithfulness? Looking forward to the years ahead and all that it entails for us as a congregation, in the service of the Lord Jesus, we can say, great is thy faithfulness. This year is a special year for me personally. 30 years ago, come the summertime, I went into the Whitfield College of the Bible to train for the ministry of the gospel. 25 years ago, I was ordained to the Christian ministry. And 15 years ago, at the end of the year, on the 5th of December, I came to be the minister here in Ballymoney. So for me personally, I want to declare God's faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. But this year is also special for us collectively. We celebrate our 60th anniversary. And together we want to shout to go up this day to our wonderful God. And we want to say to him, great is thy faithfulness. This book that we've read from, the Book of Lamentations, is a wonderful little book. It is mathematically divided. The chapters and the verses, of course, are given by man, but there is a very clear, significant division as far as the original manuscript is concerned. We have 22 verses in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, and chapter 5. And in the center one, of course, is three times as many. There are 66 verses. It's alphabetical. You will know that there are alphabetical psalms. Well, the Book of Lamentations is alphabetical, except for the last chapter. And if you were to see the original Hebrew, you will see that the first chapter is divided into the Hebrew alphabet, and each verse begins with a letter of that alphabet, as is chapter 2 and chapter 4. The middle chapter has three verses beginning with Aleph, and then three verses with Beth, and so down the Hebrew alphabet. So it's an alphabetical division as well. In the center chapter, we have this tremendous declaration proclaiming God's unceasing goodness to his people. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, what is the background to the book? Well, the book, of course, is the Lamentations of Jeremiah the prophet. He was the weeping prophet, the man of tears and sorrows, like our Lord. His lamentations in this book, for the most part, are over the city of Jerusalem. Some people have suggested that Jeremiah sat somewhere overlooking the city of Jerusalem in the time of its destruction and eventual captivity. The key verse of the book is chapter 1 and verse 12, a text that is so applicable to the Savior, but applicable also to Jeremiah. Jeremiah might well have spoken these words as he sat and watched the destruction of Jerusalem. It might also be applicable to the city itself. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. It's a book about sorrow, tears, affliction, and reproof. Solomon said that sorrow is better than laughter. Of course, that's not the opinion of the world. In the opinion of the world, laughter is better than sorrow, joy is better than tears. But the Word of God teaches that it's a good thing at times to go into the house of mourning, because there are things to learn that otherwise could never be learned. And Jeremiah is entering into the house of mourning in these lamentations. And yet in the midst of the grief, in the midst of the heartbreak, as the prophet mourns over the sins of his people and the destruction of his city, a light of hope shines through. The prophet is brought to ponder the mercies of God and the great faithfulness of God in the midst of everything. And so we have these verses particularly that we have read from verse 22 onwards. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, and so on and so forth down the next few verses. We wouldn't have time to even scratch the surface of these verses. They are full of meaning, full of encouragement and hope. Just to say this, whatever the difficulty, whatever the affliction, whatever the suffering, even the reproof for waywardness and sin, this God, in whom Jeremiah trusted, is still our God today. And we can still proclaim, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. We can shout from the very depths of our souls, come what may, great is thy faithfulness. Praise the Lord is my portion. He's been good to me. He's been good to us. We have every reason to hope in him, to trust him for the better day. What a splendid counsel this is. Wait for him. And Jeremiah goes on to say in verse 32, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. I want to highlight and to emphasize God's faithfulness. I want every child of the Lord to see afresh the truth of this declaration. Great is thy faithfulness. The Bible proclaims a faithful God. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, he says, God is faithful. It is my desire and burden today to take this little text, this phrase of Scripture, and drive it home to our hearts, I trust, by God's grace and power. Let it live in your soul right now. Let it burn itself into your innermost being this day. Let it ring in your ears all the year through. No matter what comes our way, no matter what circumstances we face, no matter what trial overtakes us, no matter what sorrow threatens to overwhelm us, or what burden presses upon us, great is my faithfulness. We want to be able to sing all the year through, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions they feel not, as thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Here's a word from God for our hearts today. Great is thy faithfulness. And as we look at it, take it for our motto text, we want to look at it in a retrospective way and also in a prospective way, looking back and looking forward. As we look back over the 6 decades from 1951 to this day, we want to glorify and praise the name of our God for all that He has accomplished. It's been of Him. Every accomplishment, every attainment, every advancement, this is the Lord's doing. We thank God for the men that the Lord used. Ministers, elders, children's workers, members of the congregation, and honor where honor is due. You can't speak about the history of this congregation without mentioning the men of the past, those who were in a very singular fashion used by the Lord. And God uses men. They are the instrument in His hand. He puts His hands of deity and power upon lives. He breathes into those weak earthen vessels of flesh and blood His omnipotent power. The faithful servant will receive the well done on that great day. God Himself will take account. God Himself will reward. God Himself will bless. And yet at the end of the day, the men that have been used were only men. Men of like passions as all of us. The glory must always go to the Lord. He is the one who has accomplished all things, though pleased to use men. We think about the mission in Cabra Schoolhouse way back in 1951. Some of us had the privilege of going there recently, as we did with the young people, the mock-up of what it was to sit in the service way back then. We hope to use that as part of the project that the youth are doing. But we thank God for that mission. I wasn't there. That's 60 years ago. Most of you were not there. Some of you were. You can remember those days. I wasn't there, but I still stand in awe of what God did at that mission. Reverend Paisley, very young gospel preacher, arrived in April 1951 to the schoolhouse where Sandy McCauley had held the Sabbath school for many years. This little schoolhouse was to become the birthplace of many precious souls during that 6-week gospel campaign. Those were unusual times. Great preaching, great power, great attendances. Somebody was telling me recently, a man from a Presbyterian church, he remembers those days. He lived in that area, and his vivid memory was the cars that were going down the road to that mission, just a little country road, and yet every night for the 6-week period, all these cars were going somewhere, and he discovered it was to the mission. People stood outside every night. They couldn't get in to hear the word. Great singing, great prayer meetings, great conviction. And God came down and He blessed the preaching of His word. And 100 precious souls professed faith in Jesus Christ. That was followed, as you know, by the all-night prayer meeting in Sandy McCauley's home. Decision had to be made. What do we do? The mission has been held. Souls have been saved. Do we send them back into churches that do not preach the gospel, do not honor God? And so an all-night prayer meeting was held. The next morning, Willie Stevenson, standing on the mat in the front of the fire, with conviction burning in his soul, exclaimed, "We will have to take our stand." And about 7 o'clock in the morning, the men who had attended that prayer meeting went out into the garden. And there the decision was made before God to commence a new Free Presbyterian congregation. The decision was not easy, humanly speaking. And there was much opposition. But those men became steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Sandy was given that firm conviction that God would bless the work, and he held on to the Bible promise, "Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase." And God has blessed and prospered over the years His cause and His kingdom. The work has grown and expanded, and something of that promise has been fulfilled. And yet it is our conviction today, the end is not yet, and the best is yet to be. Great is thy faithfulness. And what can we say about the barn loft? Those were marvellous days. Congregation was officially constituted on Saturday the 23rd of June 1951 at 3 o'clock in what became known as the Holy Tent. I understand that it got its name because there were holes in the tent. And on the first Sabbath day when they met, it was raining, and the rain came through. People were sitting in the meeting, I'm told, with umbrellas. Though they were inside, yet the rain was coming in. This tent was erected just beside the old schoolhouse in William Stevenson's Field. But the new church had nowhere to meet. They met in a tent that first Sabbath morning. But after lunch, the decision was taken to hold the evening service in Willie Stevenson's barn loft, which held about 100 people. The barn was cleared and seated, and that evening, as the gospel was preached, four souls were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. Great is thy faithfulness. By the September of that year, membership stood at 75, and there was an average attendance of 100 people. The barn became a Bethel to this new congregation, where they met for some 18 months until the new Clabber Church was erected. There were times of great blessing in the barn, and God was pleased to meet with his people who met in that humble place. It's not the building that is really important. It's not the pews and the pulpit and the fine furniture that really matters. It's not even the people or the preacher. Well, you can't really have a service without the people and without the preacher. But they are not the focus of blessing. It's the presence of God. The presence of the Lord that makes the feast of any gathering. And that barn knew the presence of God. A young student minister looked after the work in those days, the Reverend Cecil Maneri. He was appointed by the presbytery to oversee the two works in Resharkin and in Cabra, and later took the call to Resharkin. Then came the building of the Cabra Church. It was opened by the Reverend Paisley on the 8th of November 1952. On the day of that opening, the Reverend Wiley, or Mr. Wiley as he was licensed to preach the gospel and placed in charge of the work. The church seated 120 people, though many times more than that were packed into the building. It had central heating. The boiler was heated by a coal fire. And there was a rota in those days made out for those to go early in the Sabbath morning and get the boiler started. And we're told the city often lit the fire so the congregation could be warm on the Lord's Day. Reverend Cairns became the minister in 1965. Under his ministry, souls were saved and the congregation was edified. I know that he can recall those days, look back to them with thoughts of tremendous blessing. There was a 9-month period that he's able to speak about when every Sunday night souls were saved, except one out of the 9 months. God was moving in a marvellous way. Early morning prayer meetings were organized for Tuesdays and Fridays. And by the way, they met at 6:30 in the morning. You think it's early to get up for the 8 o'clock prayer meeting? On a Sabbath day, they met at 6:30. Men of sacrifice. No wonder God blessed and the Spirit of God was poured forth and souls were saved. Great is thy faithfulness. It was in Cabra the missionary weekend commenced. And that has been a highlight for this church ever since. As the Great Commission has been emphasized, these weekends have been the means of blessing, encouragement, and challenge to many of God's people. Thousands of pounds have been raised to support missionary work. And I personally thank God for what the missionary weekend means to me. Great is thy faithfulness. And then came the move to Ballymoney in 1972. Under the ministry of our brother Alan Cairns, the church moved into the town. When their new building was opened on Saturday the 13th of May 1972, the new church accommodated 280 worshippers, and that place became the birthplace of many people. It is recorded in the great annals of eternity, in God's book. This man and that man were born in her, in this very building, this new building of 1972. How many people were gloriously saved. This was the same building where the Reverend Curran came to minister in 1980 and where I came in 1996. Great is thy faithfulness. As we boast in the faithfulness of God, we could speak about the founding of our radio work, Let the Bible Speak. We could talk about the founding of the Truth for Youth magazine, the founding of the Youth Council, the establishing of the Home Mission. We could speak about the beginning of our Christian school. And in all these things we say, great is thy faithfulness. And what about the many missions that have been held over these 60 years? We've already referred to the mission in 1951, just before the church commenced, 100 souls were received. The other really outstanding mission was held in 1996 when the Reverend Elliot was the evangelist. 53 people converted at the mission. Four more on the Monday night. There was a prayer service to thank God for what he had done. It was described by non-free Presbyterians as the best mission in Ballymoney since Mr. W.P. Nicholson's mission was held in 1948. Great is thy faithfulness. This congregation has been foremost in missionary endeavor. This congregation has sought to fulfill the Great Commission in so many ways. Often our missionaries have come and we've had our deputation meetings. We've been so glad to hear from them, to see their presentations, to listen to what they had to tell us, and our hearts have been touched. Missionary prayer meetings are held every month to remember our missionaries. The missionary weekend, I'm looking forward to it next weekend. The mission field has been visited by a number of our congregation. Finances have been raised. Missionaries have been sent forth. The Reverend and Mrs. Hannah have for many years been serving the Lord in the land of Spain. Pat Mills served for many decades the Lord as she sought to win the Jewish people to Christ. Noreen has been in Kenya for 11 years. Fred Buick, former member of this congregation, went to Australia. Janice Buick became a pastor's wife. Joy McCauley became a pastor's wife in Spain. God has sent out people from the congregation. Great is thy faithfulness. We could talk about special men raised up by the Lord in the work over the years. Men like Sandy McCauley, Cochrane Hutchison, Albert Hanna, William Stevenson, Dan Biggard, Bob Owens, Nevin Carson, and Albert McCauley, and more besides. And there were women too who played an active role in the work of God in our history. And again we say, great is thy faithfulness. Our history book speaks about the sad times, times of disappointment and bereavement. There were many crosses and losses over the years too. It was a sad time when Eileen Chestnut took ill and suddenly died. On the 12th of March 1974, she was only in her 20s, her late 20s. The sorrow was immense when little Naomi, the youngest daughter of the Reverend and Mrs. Curran, died at the age of 4 in 1992. I remember attending that funeral service. Our history book tells us about infant deaths. The anguish of losing a child was experienced by many young couples in this congregation. I remember well the sad trial for the Archibald family when Mark died so tragically in 1999. Over the years, many precious saints, men and women, have been taken by the Lord. Sometimes suddenly from our sides, others in heart-rending circumstances, loved ones went to be with the Lord. My own father went to be with Christ just at the time when the Carson complex was opened. And I think of some very dear office bearers at this church during my ministry who passed on to be with Christ, which is far better. William Stevenson, James Stevenson, Brother Nevin Carson, Jim Hegarty, Albert McCauley. But you know, even in such times, in the sad times, we have to proclaim the truth of this text. Great is thy faithfulness. For our God is the faithful God. And what can we say about the new church in which we're sitting? How good God has been in giving us our Hebron church, this beautiful auditorium surrounded by its various facilities open to the glory of God on the 16th of September 2006. I thank God for the vision given to the session and committee, the support of the congregation, and all that God has so far enabled us to do. Great is thy faithfulness. Souls have been saved in this building. We could speak of those times when we've
knelt with poor sinners and had the joy of pointing them to Christ, and there's no joy like the soul winner's joy. Seasons of revival have been enjoyed. God has come down. Many a time He's met with us. He's spoken through His Word. How blessed we have been in this building so many times. And how thankful we are for it as we think of missionary weekends and harvest services and children's days and other special meetings that are held, just simply to have such facilities as these are. Great is Thy faithfulness. Looking back, we want to proclaim loudly the goodness and the grace of God. We want to lift our Ebenezer to Him, for He has helped us. We want to shout hallelujah and declare, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. We bless the hand that's guided. We bless the heart that planned. And we say from the depths of our souls today, to God be the glory. Great is Thy faithfulness. But very quickly, there is the prospective view as we think of the future. We have many things planned. Planned for the incoming year because it is our 60th anniversary. Many things have been planned by the denomination, but also locally, we are celebrating 60 years. And so there are special events right throughout the year. We're going to use this opportunity providentially given to us in the service of the Lord. And looking ahead, I know that we will be able to say, great is Thy faithfulness. This year will be a year of service. And I pray with all my heart that every Christian in this meeting house today will catch the fire for God's work. That you will serve God more zealously and enthusiastically than ever before. And as we do so, in the service that we render to His name, we shall say, great is Thy faithfulness. There will be times of sunshine and blessing. Not too much sunshine about today, but I'm speaking metaphorically. We're looking forward to this year. There's a number of weddings that have been planned. This year, in the will of God, I'll become a grandfather. And I know I don't look like a grandfather, but you have young grandfathers and a young granny. And we're looking forward to it. I pray that there will be times of spiritual refreshment. That revival will come. As I said earlier, that's the greatest need of the hour. We need revival. And I trust in the near future to speak about that. I pray that there will be times of soul winning. We have so many upon our hearts that we pray for. Those in our families who are still unconverted. Those of our friends that are still out of Christ. The multitudes that live around us who are on the broad road that leads to a Christless eternity. They need to be won for the Saviour. May this year be the fruitful year in our 60th anniversary. May many souls be saved. I pray that there will be times of spreading the gospel far and near. That we will catch the vision for the Great Commission. That young people will be called from this congregation and sent forth to serve Christ, whether it's here at home or further afield on the mission field. And then as we think of the year ahead, there may be times of sickness. We do not know. But even the sickness, we must proclaim, great is Thy faithfulness. There may be times of suffering. We do not know what suffering we might have to endure individually or collectively this year. But one thing we do know, great is Thy faithfulness. And there may be times of sorrow. Loved ones taken as in a past year and all the years of our history. God has been pleased to take from us our loved ones and our friends. But great is Thy faithfulness through it all. We don't know what this year has in store for any one of us. We couldn't have written the script for last year and will not be able to do it for this year either. The hymn writer said, I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before His face I see. I know not. But here's one thing we do know. Great is Thy faithfulness. And brethren and sisters, as we think of the text, we look back. We thank God for the 60 years, and we say, great is Thy faithfulness. As we look forward, whatever this year has in store for us, we say the very same thing. God is the faithful God, and great is that faithfulness. May the Lord help us to be faithful to Him, and to keep up the work, and to be that abounding Christian that we mentioned earlier in the service. May God bless His word to every heart for His name's sake.